I want to speak to you this morning about heroism and a season of unexpected champions. Heroism. Many people that we thought were ordinary 6 months ago have become heroes today. It took an enemy to bring out the best in all of us, but that is the story from Scripture and right on up into modern day life experience. Sometimes it takes a challenge for the best in us to shine forth. And 6 months ago, our nation and the entire world was hit by an invisible enemy, the coronavirus. And people that were ordinary, we took them for granted, then became champions. Many of you, perhaps all of you in one way or another, fit into that category. Who would have thought that doctors and nurses and school teachers and college professors and daycare workers, and waiters and waitresses, truck drivers, cashiers at grocery stores and convenience stores, those who restock shelves in the grocery stores, ordinary people 6 months ago, but because of an attack on our life all over the world, people who were just not that long ago considered ordinary have become heroes. I remember seeing everything, still do, through a different filter because of the attack we've been under and the challenge we faced. I remember walking up to one of our members, and we have several who are truck drivers. I walked up to Don Masterson just a few weeks in to this pandemic. He's a long-distance truck driver, one of our own. He and his wife, Monica, faithful blessings to our church. I walked up to him and gave him a fist bump at a distance and said to him, "Don, thank you for your service." Because truck drivers had been taken for granted for decades until an attack came to us and we saw the heroism. Instead of panicking and out of fear, throwing in the towel, calling in sick, quitting the job, he kept trucking. And we appreciate those who come in contact with a lot of surfaces on their job or a lot of people who could potentially transmit a disease, but they just became our champions. And I want to talk to you about that today. We're seeing an army of champions that were unexpected. They were unforeseen. They were unanticipated. And they were unpredicted 6 months ago. But our church and our nation is filled with unexpected champions. And there's a champion inside each of us that God wants to bring out. And sometimes it takes something challenging in order to see that come about. There's something about a challenge that will make us become better. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. This is my paraphrase. Paul said this, "A great opportunity has presented itself to me. But with it comes much opposition and adversity." The word antagonist is appropriate here. An antagonist, by definition, is the principal source of conflict. And it takes an antagonist, something that provokes us out of the status quo, out of mediocrity, into a more excellent way of life. Whatever our skill set is, everybody has had to become better at what we do because of this antagonist, this source of conflict, COVID-19. Now, an antagonist is necessary for championship. There would never be a hero without adversity and opposition, something to overcome and a reason to overcome. An antagonist works like this. An antagonist is seldom our favorite character. Usually they're evil, don't always have to be, but usually. But if you begin reading a book, a novel, a mystery, a romance novel, any kind of novel, it begins so wonderfully. Everything is picture perfect, not a problem on the horizon, but usually before you get to the end of the first chapter, the antagonist will appear. And it gives you that first pause, the first thought, uh-oh, I think trouble just entered the story right here. I believe that's going to be the problem. Now, my wife, Brenda, she loves to watch Hallmark movies. She'll watch one a week. Well, she's seen all the old ones, so it's just one a week for her. And I'll walk into the room when she's watching her Hallmark movie, and I'll take 10 seconds of watching it. I'll say, okay, she's going to dump him. She's going to wind up with him. That's the way it is. And I'm always right. I mean, now, in real life and in some novels, the antagonist is not that easy to identify. But I'm an expert when it comes to calling the sappy Hallmark movies. I'm always right about who winds up with who before the end of the movie. Now, for a little boy named David, the antagonist was a giant named Goliath. Now, David became a champion only after he slayed Goliath. It required a giant opposition before David could become an unexpected champion. And here's the truth. The value of a champion is never determined in peacetime. It always takes an adversary or some opposition for the greatness, the champion in each of us to be released and to be recognized. Now, when the Bible talks in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 17, about Goliath and David in that battle, it uses the word champion. But in the Hebrew language, the word champion was defined as one standing between two armies. That's what David did that day. That little boy that was such an unexpected, unforeseen, unanticipated, unpredicted champion. When he was facing Goliath, he was the one standing between two armies. You remember that Bible story? There was a mountain over here filled with God's army, and they were trembling in their boots, and a mountain on the other side filled with the Philistine army, the enemies of God, and they were jumping up and down because they had what they thought was a champion in their giant Goliath. And down here in the valley was David facing that giant. He was the champion, the one standing between two armies. And in many ways, each of us stand in that position often. And for us, it's standing in a valley between good and evil. An army of good and an army of evil, and each of us will find our place in that valley between two armies. We do it often in our lifetime. Now, let me say, some of the greatest battles you will fight in your life will be when you are alone. When you are alone. That's when you really find out whether you're a champion or not, is when your antagonist, your adversary, attacks you while you're alone. Our church is filled with many people who live alone. A spouse has passed away and left one as a survivor. It's easy for people who live and spend most of their time alone to feel lonely. But some of the greatest battles and some of the greatest victories come to us when we are alone. The devil did not approach Adam and Eve when they were together, but he approached Eve when she was alone. The devil did not approach Jesus with temptations when he was in the company of his 12 disciples or the throngs of thousands that would follow him. But he approached Jesus when he was alone. And before all of Israel could recognize the champion David was when he killed Goliath, he had faced some battles alone when nobody was watching. Can you imagine a little boy tending sheep, everybody taking you for granted? Nobody expecting much out of you. You're just a little shepherd boy, like Pastor Steve talked about a couple of Sundays ago, the relation between a shepherd and a sheep. And here's that little boy, David, relegated to the back of his daddy's property. Yeah, boy, just go back there and take care of the sheep on the backside. Your older brothers, now we do expect something out of them. Oh, yeah, we anticipate greatness out of them. They're military men. They're on the front lines of battle fighting for God and fighting for our nation right now. Here's this little boy, an unexpected champion. But before he was publicly recognized as a champion on a national level, there was that day when a lion came up out of the wilderness and threatened the sheep that were under his watch. And God gave that little boy the might to kill that lion with his hand. And then a little later on, when he was alone, another battle. Same scenario, tending sheep, and this time a bear came up out of the wilderness and threatened to kill some of the sheep David was watching. And so again, the power of God came on that little boy, and with his bare hands, he killed a bear that was threatening the sheep. That was a little boy. Battle. Don't you know? Oh, that was the battle of his life up until that point. The lion and then the bear, and he was alone. Some of the greatest battles you will fight will be when you are alone. And then how you handle that will determine how God can use you and develop a champion out of you publicly. Even though, for all of us, we are unexpected champions. I'm a big man. I'm 6 foot whatever. But I would hate to know, even as an adult, as muscular as I am, I would hate to take on a lion or a bear with my bare hands. I think I'd probably tuck my tail and run away from the bear and say, pick whatever sheep. But no, I wouldn't do that. I would believe God, oh Lord, please make an unexpected champion out of me today, even though nobody is watching. But a battle comes to us when we're alone. There's an antagonist that knows where you live, and he knows when you're alone. And he will show up to test and to tempt you, just like it happened in David's life before he was recognized as a national champion. That's because reputation is built in a crowd, but character is decided when you are alone. Now, for little David, everything was a giant. When you're a kid, everything looks bigger to you. And David was accustomed to facing things that were bigger than he was, already with the lion and the bear. And he had some confidence in God because he gave God the credit. He said, God delivered me from the hands of the lion and the bear. And he looked at Goliath, this new and bigger than life antagonist that didn't expect anything out of that little boy, David. David looked at him and said, the same God that delivered me when I was by myself and faced a battle with a lion and a bear, he's going to deliver you into my hands today. And he was very specific about what he was planning to do with Goliath. And he looked at Goliath and he said, you see these birds flying around the sky? They're waiting for a carcass. In just a few minutes, I'm going to cut your head off with your own spear, and I'm going to serve it up to these birds for their lunchtime. And the rest of your body is going to be dragged off into the wilderness by a beast, and they're going to devour you in just a minute. Whoa! Let's take advantage of all the private challenges we've faced and obtained a victory. They were in part to prepare us for a battle that's bigger than we are. And they are going to make unexpected champions out of all of us. Now, David had spent a lot of time alone. As a shepherd, he probably felt lonely at times. And his older brothers were shining stars. They were military men. Their father, Jesse, was proud of the older brothers because they made the cut. They're in the army of God. They're part of Israel's army. They're, in fact, on the front lines of war right now facing the antagonist, the enemy, the Philistines. And little David, little boy, watching sheep, was just an afterthought, even to his own father. And champions are often overlooked people from whom little is expected. And before David became a national champion, he took his previous job seriously. That may speak to somebody here today. You're not where you want to be. You're not where you think you ought to be. You are climbing still. You're still dreaming and reaching forward. Don't overlook the importance of your current place in the world. How you handle the level where you are will determine when you move and how far you move. You may be sick and tired of life where you are right now. Take it seriously. God wants to move you from glory to glory. He doesn't plan on moving you from a mess to glory. So take seriously, like David did. He watched those sheep and he laid his life on the line for their protection. That was his job. And unexpected champions happen when a person has been faithful in small things. And God knows that principle. He lives by it, and Jesus spoke about it. He said, the man or the woman who's been faithful in a little bit, I can trust them with a lot. But if they're not faithful with a little bit where they are right now, God said, how can I trust them with greater things? And so David took his previous job as a shepherd to a few sheep very seriously. His older brothers off at war, making headlines, David tending sheep. But he realized that while he was tending sheep, that small-minded job, that God was doing something on the inside of him that was preparing him for what was ahead for him. And the same is true for all of us today. Many times we don't realize the importance of today. We don't recognize the power of small things in our lives. But champions are seldom recognized for one giant leap. Most often, champions have usually taken small steps, one right after the other. And then, all of a sudden, a catalyst, usually an antagonist, will catapult that person into becoming an unexpected champion. Now, there are a few things I'll mention quickly about David and his life facing a challenge and becoming an unexpected champion, and that's the plan of God for all. I'm telling you, I've never lived in a day, and I'm 60-something years old, but I have never lived in a day to where the culture is serving us opportunities, even in the marketplace, even in secular arenas, to become an unexpected champion. I just listed a few of them earlier. People that were ordinary and nobody expected much more out of them in their profession suddenly were thanking them for their service to us. David had a sense of purpose and destiny on his life. It shined forth when he asked King Saul. King Saul said, "Little boy, you can't go out there and fight that giant. You're just a small boy." And he's been a man of war all of his life. "I can't let you go out and face him." And David said to the king, "Is there not a cause?" He realized a sense of purpose and destiny on his life. "Is there not a cause worth fighting for, worth putting my life on the line for? Is there not a reason and a purpose for somebody to step up and become an unexpected champion? You're going to have to deal with the devil, but is there not a cause?" Then David had a relationship with God. I'm assuming all of us do. I'm assuming that. Perhaps I shouldn't assume so much. But David had a real relationship with God. If you read the book of Psalms, and he wrote most of it, they reveal how much David loved to worship God. And the 23rd Psalm lets us know that David thought about God even while he was tending sheep. It begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But David had a relationship with God and something working on the inside that nobody could see before he was standing on a national stage for everybody to see the champion in him. And it's because champions have more on the inside than they do on the outside. A real champion always more on the inside than on the outside. David did not tell Goliath, "I come to you with a sling and a stone," even though that was all he had in his hand. David said to Goliath, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." That comes from a place of worship in a private arena. And David had practiced his worship and had written beautiful poems and songs. That was a blessed flock of sheep, I imagine, listening to David play his instrument and sing songs of worship to the Lord that he had written right there on the sheep field. And finally, to become a champion, this is so critical. You've got to recognize your window of opportunity. How many opportunities have passed us by? We never knew they walked before us. We never recognized it. We weren't anticipating it. We weren't prepared. We didn't have stuff on the inside ready to meet the demand that would be placed externally on us if we were put on the front line of battle. But you have to recognize a window. God can use all of us on certain occasions in ways that perhaps he will never choose to use us again because of timing. I'll give you a few examples. Timing is everything. There was a young lady in the Old Testament. She was a handmaiden of God. She was a Jewish girl, but she wound up in a different nation. And there was an underground of her people in that nation, a lot of them. And they were facing persecution and perhaps extinction. I got to get the stink in there. Extinction. I mean, it was like genocide. It was the plan Hitler had for all the Jews in the 30s and 40s. And the plan in the government and the hierarchy of that nation of that day was to eradicate all the Jews. And she was one. They didn't even know it. And God put her in a position and used her right before a law was passed that would wipe out God's people from that nation. She realized it was her window. She said, if I don't act now, I'll never be able to. If I don't speak up now, I will never have this chance again. And this is the phrase she used in the book of Esther. I was brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Could it be that each of us right now, with the world going crazy and God raising up an army of unexpected champions, people all around us, ordinary people like me and you, could it be that there's a window of opportunity and we will find a cause worth fighting for? And we would be able to say, I was born into the kingdom of God for this, for such a time as this. Timing is everything. Dr. Ron Cobble, standing right here, said something almost flippantly. I don't think it was in his notes. It just came out of his spirit. And he said, 90% of the will of God is timing. 90%. You can do the right thing, but at the wrong time. There is such a thing as opportunity. And sometimes it's a small window, like it was for Esther. And I think God is calling for champions by the millions in this culture. I mean, if the devil thought he was going to stop the church, what he's done is magnified our influence. What a dumb devil. Thank you for that. I mean, the devil is, he's the devil. But he's the antagonist that has brought millions of unexpected champions out of the corners into the forefront. In front of us right now. I'm looking around right now, and many who are not here watching. Our church is filled with champions. I just want to tell you, and I can be real with you, when the pandemic first started in March, and it happened so quickly, we were enjoying life and church, wonderful, and loved the place being packed out, and every Sunday was a celebration of worship and praise. It was just amazing, and then all of a sudden, whoop, nobody comes. The governor said, businesses are shut down. Everything stopped, everything, including church. And I remember we scrambled and made a few calls to people who are strategic to our services and realizing Facebook is the only way we can carry the gospel and minister to people right now. And so we had that in place. We had to become a lot better at it, still working on it. But I remember the first Sunday, I was thinking, well, I don't even know if the singers and the band will be here or not. I remember the first Sunday, all of them showed up. And I remember standing up here and saying to them, especially to Oliver, the leader, said, things are crazy, and please let the team know if any of them think that they should not come. We will understand, and we will not hope, because everything is frozen fear had paralyzed our nation. You remember? Afraid to crack your door to let a little ray of sunshine in. Nobody was going anywhere. But I want you to know that we have unexpected champions. I mean, we expected them to become champions. They already were. But let me just honor them briefly. Oliver Bruton, this is our praise and worship team. Missy Carpenter, Tracy Rowell, Lena Hughes, our musicians, David Carpenter, Justin Pearson, Larry Pearson, Khaki White, and the great Mark Daniels. Right where you should be, right there. And they didn't miss. None of them. I mean, we were up here ministering to empty seats. The doors locked. I couldn't believe it. Sunday morning in America, and all of the church doors were locked and nobody allowed in. But champions were made. How much we appreciate our praise and worship singers and musicians. They never laid out. Not only them, but so many people who work behind the scenes. Jonathan Seal, our sound technician. Beth Bruton, our media girl. Will Moody, our cameraman. And we only have one camera because we only have one Will. And then Nick Campbell, who is our virtual greeter online. Right now he's greeting everybody who's logging in to watch our live stream. Nick is the one who greets and responds and welcomes everybody. Then we had our ushers and our security team, which are headed up. I can't call all the names. It's an army. But Michael Morris and Mike Jones work together in heading that up and all of that. And so many of the men who serve on our haven't missed a Sunday. You're here again today. Champions. Champions, we thought you were just simple singers and musicians and ushers and behind the scenes, but no. An enemy raised his head and converted ordinary people into unexpected champions. There's never been a better day in my lifetime for champions to be made than the culture we're living in right now. And then even beyond that, Joe Wallace, our custodian, who also opens up the church for services and makes sure the temp is right and the lights are on and closes up. He makes sure the devil is not here before you get here, and he makes sure the devil stays gone while you're here. So many people behind the scenes that have become unexpected champions. There's a window. There's a time to become a champion. And if you miss that window, you may never have a chance again. What if Martin Luther had not stood up? And what if Rosa Parks had not sat down? A window. An opportunity to become a champion. In the Old Testament, there's a verse that I love dearly. It's so non-popular. You don't hear anybody quote it, but it's powerful. It says, the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and therefore knew what Israel ought to do. And according to that one verse, the one thing that's critical in knowing what to do is have understanding of the times, being able to recognize your window of opportunity. Now, David was a poet and a songwriter and a great one, and we sing his songs even thousands of years after he wrote them in our praise services. And he did not write this song, but it's an appropriate title, and it's a secular song. David, standing in front of Goliath, could have said this: some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this. Look at the enemy facing you. Look at the antagonist, the primary source of conflict in your life right now. And instead of saying, well, there's no way out, I knew this day would come, It's hopeless. It'll never get any better. My best days are behind me. God can't get any use out of me anymore. Look at that enemy like the champion you are. Unexpected though you might be, and instead of being fearful of it, you say, standing in that place, some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone stand. Bow your heads here.